Hi, this is Jim Daly, and in my family this summer, we're enjoying lots of camping. I hope you're enjoying a great summer, too. But can we ask you to remember us? Pain and grief don't take time off, and we're answering 2,400 calls a day from families who need your help. So please give us a call. Your donation will be doubled right now, dollar for dollar, because of generous friends of the ministry. Call 1-800, the letter A in the word family, or visit focusonthefamily.com. Lisa, what hope would you give to that single person who's in their 30s or 40s, maybe even beyond, and they haven't found the person?
Yeah, well, two things. The first is your life's not over yet. As long as your life is not over, you have hope for marriage, and I'm hoping that as well. And the second thing is, even if you are not yet married, you have a lot to live for right now.
Well, that perspective is from Lisa Anderson. She heads up our Boundless Ministry here at Focus on the Family, and she joins us for this radio program with your host, Focus President and author Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller, and Jim, this is a conversation for singles of all ages.
Well, today we want to come alongside and encourage the singles, those of you who have not found Mr. or Miss Right. And today we want to talk about it and hopefully give you some perspective. And of course, Lisa, you head up the Boundless team. I am so impressed with the work of Boundless. I think we've had over 800,000 unique visitors in the last several months. That is good stuff. And I hope people who are single in their 20s and 30s and beyond can go there for help. And that's boundless.org. So go there. And really, that's the ministry that Lisa heads up here at Focus on the Family. John, I do want to challenge also every married couple out there. We so often overlook the opportunity to mentor. Marriage is important. Marriage is under threat. And for us in the Christian community to be good mentors, to look around the church, look for the singles, to be able to have them over to dinner and, interact with them to show them what healthy, normal marriage looks mm-hmm. like, hopefully thriving, not surviving marriages. And we'll talk more about that in a minute.
And Lisa's been here before. She's actually back to answer questions. I think the last visit we had with you, Lisa, here in the studio generated quite a few responses from our listeners. And what we've tried to do is capture some of those and bring them here so you can hear Lisa's perspective on your own questions, those things that perhaps we haven't addressed in previous programs.
Lisa, you do a lot of work with single folks, 20, 30s, and beyond. Refresh us with your story. Where are you at, and what's your perspective when it comes to being single at an age when your heart yearns to be married?
Yeah, and I get that question a lot from people like at church who say, well, now that you're older, how do you feel about that? And I think to myself, I have to be honest and say, in some ways, it's great. I'm not who I was when I was 20. I have a lot more wisdom now. I have a lot more income. I have more opportunity. There are many things that I'm doing now that I would not have available to me had I been married at this point. So with these things, I have the power to make great choices and do great things. And even Boundless itself, I probably wouldn't have been involved with Boundless had I been married at this point in my life. But there are some times, because I'm still open to marriage and desiring that and do not feel called to singleness, there are still some times where I feel kind of left behind. I feel like, oh, what if? And I look ahead and I, am worried sometimes about my future or even like a future legacy. Here at Focus on the Family, we talk about the lot, Gen 3, we're talking about now the power of three generations. And I certainly see that from the top down into my generation, but now where am I going to pass that mm-hmm. down? And so that feeling of, where do I go from here? Who am I going to pour into? What does that look like?
Lisa, I want to ask you, and these are heartfelt situations, obviously. I don't want to be glib with it at all. How do you live in your 30s and even your 40s and come to that place where, okay, God, I'm content. I may not be happy, but I'm content. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? Or mm-hmm. what are those emotions that you feel starting at the human level, and then we'll talk about with your attitude toward the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think it's something where you have to recognize, and I mean, this is something where we start telling young teens, about your identity in Christ. Who are you? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that you are valued for who you are and for nothing of your own merit? And kind of starting, and that continues on into adulthood, whether you're single or married. So for me, it's that perspective of just saying, wow, if I truly believe that God is sovereign, he has control over every single thing, and he is completely and perfectly good, there has to be something working out behind the scenes that is truly his story for me. And even though I would like to script it differently, and even though I think I have all the wisdom that I need to make my story be better or to get exactly what I want, for some reason, God has withheld that from me right now, because he's completely in control and powerful enough to bring any kind of husband in my sphere. And so I have to look back and say, okay, this is where I am right now. This is what God has for me. Moments of sadness, and I recognize those as well. And I mean, sometimes there have been seasons of sadness in that, and I've gone through various iterations of that. But just recognizing that I have to continue living life. I have to move on. I cannot be a believer and not trust God. I mean, it's this weird tension. So I have to reconcile that to myself.
Let me ask you, in terms of gender expression of this, you know, if you're a 35, 40, 45-year-old woman and you've never been married and have had that yearning as a little girl all those years, decades, and it's not happened for you. Does that play out differently, perhaps, than a guy who's 35, 40, 45?
Generally, yes. Because for women, especially if we follow, you know, we talk a lot about biblical intentional dating at Boundless and what that looks like. And for men, it generally means that the power is in their hands, a la Proverbs 18:22, to pursue a wife, a very active role, a very intentional role. Women sometimes feel frustrated in that because they're like, if no guy's asking me out, then what am I to do? And all I'm seeing are the years and months ticking by. And so for women, it's very much a sadness and a heart longing of feeling, I am not chosen, I am not worthy, I am not enough. And it easily plays into the lies that Satan wants to tell us, that for some reason, we're not worthy of being married, we're not worthy of being loved and cherished by a spouse. And so we're left empty-handed in that.
Let me ask you this question, because so often it feels like we're not content in being single. I can remember, again, I was in my early 20s. I stopped dating because I felt the Lord had called me to do that. And for about 2 years, I didn't date. And I was thinking to myself, perhaps I'm called to that single life. But it was almost as if it was a risk-reward, that the Lord wanted to see that step of faithfulness, and then he blessed me with Jean. It was dramatic. It was a God story. It was amazing how Jean came into my life. But I was ready in my heart, and I think the Lord said, okay, you're in a good space. Now, let me share a story with you of a friend of mine. I'll call him Bob, and he and I are playing racquetball, and afterward, we're sitting on the curb drinking a Coke or something, and he was older than me. He was not married yet. He was very frustrated. He aimed rather high in terms of the type of wife he was looking for. And he was telling me, in almost what I would say with a smile and bragging tones, that he had, you know, set this aside, that he was fine being single, but he just wished God would bring him a wife. And I had to look him in the eye and say, Bob, it doesn't sound like you've really given it over to God. Now, I don't know if that was the right way to handle it. He eventually got married and everything worked out. But I could tell he thought he had given it over to God, but he truly hadn't.
Yeah.
Is there a difference there?
Well, very much so. And I think that's where we see many singles who have a wrong view of scripture approach marriage, and this idea of, I have my laundry list of exactly what I know I need and want, and this is what I'm going to come. And then they spiritualize it. You know, and I've heard this happen in singles groups and even youth groups when I was younger. You write down that list and you pray over it and you post it on your mirror and God will reward you. And as long as you're doing this, this, this for God, you go on that mission trip, you do that, he's going to reward you with marriage. And that is such bad theology.
Earning
your mate. Because I know that I have done a lot for God. Okay. I have done a lot for Jesus and I'm still single. And so, and I know, and even when you think of the practicalities of it, I know many singles who have gone online. They have gone to large churches with singles groups. They've asked to be set up. They have prayed boldly. They have done everything humanly possible and they're still single. And so for some reason, we have to recognize that God does not owe us marriage. This is not a transactional thing where God's going to provide something in return for us doing something. We are not owed marriage. We're not promised marriage. I can't sit at Boundless and tell people, don't worry, I just put enough, you know, years on this show and all of a sudden you're going to see this amazing story. I do not know how my story will end. All I can do is trust God with my next day.
And live it.
Yeah, and live
your life out. Let me point to the mailbag, if we call it that.
Sure.
Some of the comments that come into Boundless. I think it points to this frustration with God, and I really want to lift that up because I think at our foundation, whether you're married or single, your relationship with Christ is what sets the tone for all your relationships, in my opinion. But you received a note from a woman named Polly, and she wrote in and said, "I've been praying for a husband for as long as I can remember. I'm 35 now, and I've reached the point where I'm finding it hard to pray anymore. After years of not having my prayers for a husband answered, the less I believe that God cares about me, and it's harder for me to trust him." That's a very honest expression mm-hmm. of her disappointment with God. Mm-hmm. What does she need to do to get in a better place?
Yeah. You know, Jim, it's interesting because it's one thing to believe that God can do something. It's another thing to believe that God will do something. And so I think that's where, you know, the huge question comes into our minds about, do we really trust that God is who he says he is? And that's the thing, is it gets back to that, you know, we're not just looking at God as some kind of cosmic vending machine. I would say to Polly three things. One, first of all, know that God hears. And that's why I encourage singles, especially if they're feeling like there's no one in my sphere or I've tried everything, whatever. Bring it to God. He's asking us to ask him and to go before and to be persistent in our prayers. He is leaning down, listening to us, and he hears. And truly, you know, and I say this all the time, go to the Psalms where David says to pour out your complaint. Do that before God, you know, do it well. Secondly, know that he cares. He truly understands who you are. He has your best interests at heart. He will never give you things that are not directly from his hand or things that he has not ordained. And then finally, know that he answers. And it may be yes, it may be no, it may be wait, it may be I have something better for you, but he will answer. And it's just a matter of us shaping our will beyond that, trusting him in the midst of it.
Well, and I've got to ask the question, I think, as I read Polly's comment, what I hear is utter disappointment. Mm-hmm. How do you move from disappointment to trust, like you just described? What do you do in your heart to get you to a better place where it's not always waking up and saying, "Lord, you've let me down again"?
Right. I remember what Elizabeth Elliot said. I think she said, in fact, I have this up at my desk, that the secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. Hmm. And so sharing, turning around that perspective and saying, we're so prone to look inward and say, me, 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 what do I need? What is this going to look like? What am I deserving? What am I? But it's not about us. It's looking, turning that perspective. And I think of Ruth, you know, I tell this to women a lot. When Ruth signed up to go with Naomi, she was not signing up for a good story. She was signing up for permanent widowhood. There were no prospective men where she was going. It was not guaranteed that going back to her mother-in-law's people was going to get her a husband. She was at the bottom of the totem pole. She was just going back because she was called to go back and because she was going to serve the God of her mother-in-law's people. But we see, obviously, in the story how God turned that circumstance around. And it wasn't because Ruth said, okay, God, I'm going to go with Naomi. I'm going to go and like hang out in the fields. I'm going to go and do that. She had no understanding.
There was no ulterior motive.
No. And there was no, she didn't know anything. She didn't know what was going to happen. She couldn't predict it. She couldn't script it. But yet look how God worked within his timing and in crazy, crazy ways. And there's always hope in that. God is a God of crazy ways.
Well, I hope Polly was able to hear the reply that Lisa just gave to her question. And if you've got questions or you'd like to interact with us about our conversation today with Lisa Anderson, shoot us a note, send an email, call us. The contact information and details about Gary Thomas's book, Sacred Search, which I think is a good fit for where we're at right now in the discussion, is at focusonthefamily.com/radio. And for a gift today of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family, we'll send that book to you as our way of saying thank you for allowing us to prepare radio programs like this and to have the Boundless Outreach.
Lisa, I love the interaction at boundless.org. I mean, it's just such a lively environment and very open and honest. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember having debates here at Focus about whether or not we needed to scrub some of the content because it wasn't the way it should be. And we all decided, no, let's just let it rip and let's hear from people's hearts. And that's what you do at boundless.org. And I'm really proud of you for what you do. Let's take another comment that came into boundless.org from a woman named Sarah. And this one really grabs my heart because, again, she feels like she doesn't have the tools to get the job done, if I could say it that way, to get married. And she wrote, "I am an introvert, and my approach to finding a husband is to pray, trust God, and try to attend as many social functions I can in the hopes I can meet someone." Boy, that's heartfelt. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. She goes on, "But I get so tired of putting myself out there. And I'm beginning to feel that trusting God to bring someone into my life seems to be less effective than if I was just naturally outgoing. What advice do you have for me? Again, I want to say that's where you start doubting who you are. That's a bad place to be, where you don't like the person God made you
to be. And I think there's two hidden things in that question, Jim. And one is that the reason she's talking about putting herself out there is probably because she's been told that over and over and over again by her parents, by people in the church. Well, are you sure you're putting yourself out there?
You
are you
available.
Sure you're doing enough? Are you sure you're working on who you are?
What should a parent say?
I think a parent needs to say that, I'm not saying don't be honest. I always go after singles and I say, get that mirror. Now, it may be a parent, but you may not want to hear that from your parents. You may need to take a mentor who's going to tell you some honest things about where you are maturity-wise, life-wise, your attitude, that kind of stuff. But you want that open filter. Parents need to love their kids and need to affirm their kids that and when I say kids, I'm talking about grown adult children. We're still your kids. need to affirm their kids that they are loved, they are lovable, they are dateable, they are.
And so be an encourager.
Be an encourager. Be an encourager, but also be open. I mean, don't be badgering and tell them like things that they need to do differently in order to get to this spot. But be encouraging. But also, you know, a little prodding isn't bad, and a little bit of orchestrating some circumstances. But you just don't want your parents stepping in there and saying, like, kind of my mom, I had to fire her from my dating team, let's be honest, because she can pray.
Mom, sorry, mom.
She can pray like nobody's business. She's a prayer warrior, but she has tried to, she tried to set me up with a guy once that based on all she'd seen was the back of his head in church. And I'm like, Mom, you have lost discernment and we need to move beyond this. So, I mean, you know, parents
or
be
her
discerning.
Heart was right.
Her heart was in the right place, but I think she's kind of, she's dropped
Does
some of the items
wear glasses,
on her list.
By the way?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not all external. I get it.
He was standing
everybody.
And he was breathing, so she felt like maybe it's a good
Right. Fit. So I would say, I mean, to Sarah here, you know, and she's, again, it's, you know, oh, what am I doing enough and am I enough is what's underneath that. And I look at her question and I'm like, bless her heart, because Sarah, I'm outgoing and I'm still single. This isn't a personality thing. This is not anything wrong with you or the type of person that you are or how you're interacting with guys or how many guys you meet. Introverts get married too, okay? Introverts get married too. But get people on your team. I mean, truly get people who will love you, who will back you up, who will encourage you. Put them to work for you. You know, I tell, especially the intro, if you don't want to go to a big party or a big singles gathering and start working the crowd, then work a team. Get a team who's going to do the work for you. I don't have any problem with that. Get feedback from them. But don't feel like you need to add five things to your weekend, because again, it's just going to be crazy making.
Hey, John, while we're in this parent area, I mean, you've got daughters and sons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got adults, some single adults. Three of my kids are fully independent and none of them are dating. And I appreciate your expression there that we need to be encouragers and coaches. I would not presume to tell my kids, hey, here's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Or hammer on your own story if you were married at 21.
Well, but as a father, I'm sure you still have, you're in some ways a bit anxious, maybe for one daughter over another daughter.
Well, my heart yearns for my children to find the joy that I have found in a married relationship, but I can't force anything for them. And so it is difficult to see them and to think, well, maybe you could. I mean, it's very natural to think, well, yeah, maybe you could do this or that differently. It's a tough balancing act, but I think it's like with most adult children, you just have to learn to be quiet. They've got to own that, and you can pray. And we do pray that they'd find really somebody very special. We've been praying that for years.
Well, we talk about that now. I mean, with my boys and their ages, you know, they're not in high school yet. They're just about to be there. But we talk constantly about, you know, we're praying for your spouse and, you know, someday I hope you get married and have lots of little Troys and little Trents and then, you know, you could, even that's pretty funny because Trent will look at me and, really, you want more of me? Troy will look and go, yeah, we need lots of me.
What they don't know is that's really, you're praying for payback is what you're saying.
But that's so great, Jim, because I see so many parents, and this is a word to the parents of those younger kids right now, who these parents like think that when your kid leaves the house, that's the time to start talking about marriage. And it's not. not. Yeah. You need to cast that vision early and talk about what it looks like for a man to serve his wife and to protect women and to honor women and respect women and for women to value motherhood and value being a wife and value. I mean, there's so much training that has to go on ahead of time. We don't want people to show up at Boundless and be like, so tell me about marriage and what should I do? You know, parents, help us out.
Let me ask you this question. If you're in your 30s or 40s and you haven't married, you can turn that in a negative way toward yourself to say, I must be flawed. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for the person who's looking in the mirror and they're actually looking for a way to understand why they haven't been married and they start being hypercritical of themselves. Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked first of all of, you know, we're not saying that you're not married because you are flawed. And of course, so many women run to that right away. Well, women are very quick to
body say, image, yeah, all that.
Mm-hmm. Women are very quick to say that. We're very quick to be self-critical. That said, flipping that on its head, there may be reasons why you are still single. So I'm all about being honest too, okay? And that's where I think you need those people that love you, that you trust, that you know have your best interests at heart, who can provide that mirror. It reminds me of a couple articles that we have at Boundless. One is an article called Brother, You're Like a Six. And it's basically this guy that approached one of his pastors asking, I need to find where the Christian women are who are tens. I need to know, because I can go to the gym and find the non-Christian women who are tens, or I can go to the bar, or I can go wherever. Where are the Christian women who are tens? And the pastor told him, well, brother, you're like a six. So
wow, that's like a 2x4 right between the eyeballs.
And they had a bit of a relationship, and so it was okay. Yeah. But it's that understanding of, again, you are not owed anything. You're not coming to God with your laundry list of what you deserve or how amazing you are and what amazingness you deserve. You know, you're going to enter marriage and you're going to have a lot of growing and a lot of sanctification and you're going to bring a lot of sin to the table and you need to get a reality check going into this. I mean, there's a lot of awesome things about marriage, but it is not something that is just your reward for a life well lived.
Have you had a mentor speak so boldly and bluntly into your life?
I've had a couple. In fact, I, you know, I just ignore everything they say, basically. I'm just telling other people to do this.
You're still a 10 in your eyes.
I'm a 10 and a half.
12, were you kidding me?
Exactly. No, I have. And it's interesting because I had a little bit of my own wake-up call, and then that was affirmed by some mentors. And when I was on here last fall on the Focus on the Family broadcast, I shared with you about how, you know, I was a career woman, and I was the one that was always trying to meet at the table with guys and debate them on everything and be this and try to prove how amazingly smart I was. And then I don't know that guys care. I mean, not that men don't want smart women, but I don't think they really care about like women sparring with them. Okay. Apparently, it took me until 30 to realize that. No one ever told me. So that idea of, Lisa, you can be okay with femininity. You can be okay with like some weakness. You can be okay. You don't have to go and on YouTube and, you know, or Google everything like how to fix a transmission, you know. Recognize
Boy, that's
that you
pretty
can't
good.
Do
I can't
everything.
Do that.
I can't do that either.
No, I mean, it's just like we have this idea, women, that, oh my goodness, men are going to think we're so awesome if we can build a cabin or something. It's like ridiculous. So I had to have some wake-up calls related to that for sure.
Well, transmission, cabin, whatever you want to do, I'm all in.
I've got Lisa's number. I'm going to call her if my car breaks down.
Okay. Lisa, hey, we've got to ask some more questions. I'm looking at a list of questions that have come to balance.org, and I want to get to some of those. So let's come back next time and address some of those issues of loneliness and perhaps how you go about creating the right environment to potentially meet your mate. And those will all be good things. You've also got a Boundless event coming up. What's that about?
Oh, we're so excited about it, Jim, because for years and years, we've had this online community at Boundless of people that are sharing their struggles, getting advice, talking to one another, and now we're taking that into real time and real space. So August 7th
scary.
Through 9th, scary but fun, August 7th through 9th here at Focus on the Family, we are hosting Pursuit 2014.
August 7th through 9th.
7th through 9th, and I describe it as kind of part conference, part meetup, but all awesome. Because it's like, it's not just sitting in a room and listening to a bunch of speakers. We're going to have great speakers. Tully and Chavijan is coming. Emerson Eggerich. I'm actually speaking. But we've got great people. Brant Hansen from Air One is going to be here.
That'll be fun.
I know. He's going to be a blast. So, but it's that opportunity to, as a single person, not many things are created uniquely for singles, not many events, to say, I'm going to come out to Colorado for an adventure. I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to maybe meet some new Christian single friends. I'm going to listen, learn from great speakers and just have a fun time in the shadow of the Rocky Mountains.
But you're also doing a lot of things outside of the walls here. What else are you going to do?
We're doing
5K run?
We're actually going to, the Saturday morning of the event, we're hosting a citywide 5K that's actually open to the public. So any of you out there that are planning vacation plans to focus on the family this summer, great opportunity to come by the 7th through the 9th of August to join us. We're going to run on behalf of families worldwide. It's going to be awesome.
Help me. Who should come? Maybe I'm 30 or 40. Should I be thinking about it, or only if I'm 20?
Pursuit is for anyone 18 to 39 and single. So we're kind of keeping it within our demographic of young adults, kind of using that span. And again, it's a Thursday night through a Saturday, so you only have to take one day off, from your job. That's the conference demographic. And then the 5K, again, if you are 9 years old, if you are 90 years old, you can walk, you can run, you can crawl, you can bring your stroller and bring your kids. I mean, it's just going
to
be a blast.
And then after that, you can plan your own excursion up to the top of Pikes Peak after you do the 5K run.
Absolutely. You can go rafting. I mean, this is like a great time to be in Colorado. So we're hoping, in fact, we already have on our event page, we have a group of guys coming from Australia, and they're like, we want to go to Chick-fil-A. So that's their like big thing, is they're going to go to Chick-fil-A, and they're getting a group together to do Chick-fil-A, and they're
okay,
so excited.
Okay, well, that is interesting.
It's going to be a blast,
No, it's good. We love Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Great food. And you only have a couple of days left to sign up for that, for August 7 through 9. So where do they go to sign up?
Yeah, only 2 days left to sign up, folks. So get on your computer right now, boundless.org/pursuit.
Lisa, that's great. Let's come back next time and keep the dialogue going.
Absolutely.
And of course, we hope to see you here when you come for Pursuit. And we'll link over to the event from our radio page as well. Well, if today's program has resonated with you, I'll encourage you to ask about a fantastic book by Gary Thomas called The Sacred Search. He's been here before to talk about that. It's an outstanding book for singles and those who are in dating relationships and even engaged couples. And it really unpacks how to find your identity in God and how to analyze what you want out of a marriage, and helps you dispel some of the myths that you might believe about marriage, including finding your soulmate. Now, it's a real eye-opener, and if you're married, it makes a great gift for a single that you might be mentoring. And you can find details about this and order your copy of The Sacred Search at focusonthefamily.com/radio. Today's program has really highlighted one of our core missions here at Focus, and that's to help you prepare for a lifelong, God-honoring marriage and to live your single years with some intentionality. If you believe in what you've heard today and in our mission, please, let me tell you that we need your help to reach millions of singles around the world. It's especially important we hear from you today. We're in a bit of a summer slump, if you will, in terms of our budget. People get busy and sidetracked, and the donations have tapered off a bit. So every dollar you contribute today makes a difference. And when you make a donation of any amount today, we'll send, as our way of saying thank you, a copy of The Sacred Search. So please, be generous and go online at focusonthefamily.com/radio or contribute to our work here when you call 800-A-FAMILY. Our broadcast today was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time for more from Lisa Anderson as we once again turn our hearts toward home.